Cassie here from My Worst Date.
What the fuck is happening?
Did you see my whole body freeze? I went into panic mode. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't. This is off script. She went off script.
I literally I was just thinking, I'm like, everybody's probably so sick and tired of me and like hearing me say.
I love mixing it up. I do. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
And
you're broke. I broke them.
Dive right in to what has been an extremely roller coaster week, yeah. I think, for
all of us.
Especially for you. You've had it
rough
this week.
Yeah, and Cassie too, on that news and everything like that. So yeah, it's been a roller coaster week. Been a roller coaster week online too.
Oh man.
Freaking.
We think you have a bad week.
Oh yeah.
You're not a Try Guy.
Yeah. Earlier this week, I watched a lot of the Try Guys. Are you guys super familiar?
I've seen a couple. Yeah. I'm not like an Uber fan, but I really liked it. I just would forget about it.
Yeah. I'm a fan. Like,
I think
I enjoy
the one
them.
That like everyone saw was the one where they did the like what contractions would
the
be
labor.
Like.
Yes.
The labor.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
I saw that one. Yeah.
Yes. Which that one's great. They have a lot of really great videos. And then throughout the pandemic, I was watching a lot of YouTube and they had a whole thing where they would try like doing things without a recipe. Like that's a big thing that they do now and stuff like that. And I just find them entertaining. I enjoy watching them.
It's funny because I think the thing that makes it so people gravitated toward it, especially women, is because it's like guys kind of addressing that we think what women do, there's so much downplaying in what women do, right? Like, oh, they have babies and cook and do all this stuff. And we really kind of like glaze over that fact.
They definitely, I think, present themselves as good family men. Like women look at them, they're like, yes, that is a good man. Yeah. He loves his wife. And they respect women.
Yeah, they feel that way about Ned, right? Because like Ned was married. Eugene is not married. And that's like not his thing. Like they all have different, they have like different personalities. They're like, you know, Sex and the City, where it's like, are you a Eugene or are you a Zach or whatever, what have you? But Ned definitely did present himself as like he was the one who, he's the wife guy. Like there was a kind of a joke that like, he would talk about his wife in every single video. He looped his wife, Ariel, into a lot of the videos. He looped her into the brand completely. She's on their podcast. During the pandemic, especially when they were filming a lot at home, he would have her step into videos.
Imagine.
They have a cookbook together that's like a family cookbook. So
the
it's
big.
For a year. For a year.
Yeah.
He dated an employee. Pretty much, right?
And I think that is... So, okay. So, earlier this week, there was all of this, like, speculation because fans... There was, like, a big, long Reddit post. Like, fans were going down this, like, rabbit hole because people were like, it looks like you edited Ned out of this video. Like, there was a video where he was a judge for one of the, like, Without a Recipe episodes. And, like, you could see him, like, in the background for things, but then he wasn't. They cut him out of the judge panel. They edited him out of the entire episode. And people were like, why is that? Then they were, like, launching their own. They have their own, like, merch and clothing line and stuff. And they were launching their new tracksuits. And they were like, okay, why is it only the three Try Guys and Ned isn't featured in this ad? So then fans were starting to be like, what's going on? What's going on? And then somebody posted a picture and granted, or a video. Granted, it was like far away and blurry. Like it was like someone, it looked like someone was standing pretty far away and zoomed in. So it's pretty blurry. So it's like, you can't really tell what's going on.
Somebody hired somebody.
But they were like, this is Ned making out with this
girl, his wife.
who works for the Try Guys, was like a producer who was like in some of the videos.
Oof.
Like she had been in the videos and I bet you they've taken those down off of YouTube now, but like she had been in some of the videos in the past when they just like featured some of their producers to have them talk or do something.
Mm-hmm.
And of course in like lots of group pictures from like the holiday party, she would be in the pictures with them because she's a coworker basically. And I think that more than anything is probably what got him fired.
Well, and then didn't her husband or boyfriend?
She married?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know.
His name is Will. I think he posted DMs on Reddit.
Oh,
so
shit.
Yeah, that's the thing that I heard is that he posted DMs like because he had caught them like a while ago, and this was before him and Ariel got married.
Oh,
he caught. So this was a long, long
time ago because they've got like kids. They've been married for years.
No, no, not Ned and
Ariel.
Not Ned and his wife. Whoever the woman he was cheating on.
I don't know her name. His wife's name is Ariel.
Oh, okay, that's the mistake. So the employee, the coworker, was going to get married to her fiance Will, and he caught evidence of them cheating. They decided to stay together and get married. But then obviously all of this still happened. And so that, yeah, they've been together for like a year.
And here's the thing. I feel like this is our second week in a row talking about something that's very similar, which is, but people are people. People are always going to fuck up. Like that is something that happens. It's the prolonged. It's the prolonged thing. And it's the also using your wife for content.
Yeah.
Throughout that situation.
To be persona. It's the persona you've built about yourself is this. And I think that that's the thing. That is the biggest crux here. Because I think that we're all starting to kind of come to terms with the idea that, you know, traditional is traditional. Whatever. It's great for some people. But, you know, some people have open relationships. Some people are fluid. It's whatever. I think that This is full on cheating because they are not in an open relationship, first of all. Second of all, you've built a brand on being a traditionally married husband.
It's the brand. And it's it's the parasocial relationship that gets destroyed.
It's the same thing with John Mulaney. I think people were in part so like upset and hurt in quotes by that whole situation because they felt like this was someone that they knew and he presented this very kind of like clean cut image and he used his wife as content.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so
his brand was, I am Mr. Clean Cut married guy who doesn't want kids.
Right.
So.
Right. So then, yeah.
So when you do that, you are opening yourself up, like, and it's okay. Things happen. Not every relationship is going to last forever. And like, there's, there's a way to say like, you know, we, whenever that was happening, we were very happy and all of these things, like there's a way to do that, but this wasn't it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing. I don't think we should necessarily hold them up to this expectation that they have to stay married until they're 85 to satisfy all of us. But like,
and I think there's something to be said about that too. Cause then there's the argument of like, well, you know, it's not anybody's business what their relationship is, but it's like the Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? Isn't it her that she and her husband are getting divorced because she cheated on him with their,
I don't know,
her sex guru?
Her trainer.
Well, her trainer.
Her trainer.
And a sex guru. Phenomenal. There were multiple.
Great.
So,
But then, and people were like, we're just trying to really, she made like this post about like, you know, we're just trying to deal like with this privately in our own home. Oh, really? Just like.
But it's the hypocrisy when you go after like trans people. That's right. For supposedly not having traditional family values. Mm-hmm. And then, but that's exactly right. Yeah. It is very similar. It's the hypocrisy that rubs people the wrong way and makes people angry.
Yeah. Because you feel, I think there's a, well, especially with Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's a feeling of judgment that comes with that. Like, especially from her. I don't know that that's the case with Ned, but there's definitely, it's a presentation of it's a false presentation. It's a false
feel that with Ned. Like, I didn't feel like he was judging anybody who didn't have the marriage that he was presenting that he did have.
No.
But it is just one of those things where you have to be very careful about building a brand around your relationship.
Yeah.
I think that that's just something. I think that we're seeing that in the age of like content creators, and like influencers and stuff like that, we're seeing that all the time where people have built these brands around like a couple's relationship stuff, family stuff.
Sure.
It's my brand is my family. It's I have a family YouTube channel or I've got a couple YouTube channels.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like giving, like Rachel Hollis was another one where she's like giving relationship advice and she's like, my relationship is perfect and all of these things. And like, you should try to like be more like me.
It's false
narrative. And then when they get divorced, which again is a completely normal thing, it's not anything to be necessarily ashamed of, but it is one of those things that's like, if you are, you have to be careful about using your relationship as content and like as a brand,
as
to
a personality.
Me, it's
your relationship is not your personality.
Yeah. And to me, it's in at this point and We've had this podcast for a long time. Obviously, everybody knows about our relationships. They know the names of the people that we're in relationships with. So I get it. But like at this point, I feel like
people get invested. I mean, people were very excited, you know, when I got engaged, which is lovely. But if something were to go wrong, you know, I definitely do try to present myself as myself, not as somebody that's part of a couple.
And what's going on right now, because everybody's relationship goes through changes, right? Like the best advice I ever got with Chris and I when we were going through, like, you know, our marriage stuff in the beginning before you get married, like you go through like some counseling stuff, is that it's not about growing, you know, not growing. It's about growing together and like seeing people in their different stages of their lives, because people will continue to grow through their life,
right?
And it's just kind of checking those boxes and meeting each other along the way, you know. So it's not to say that people won't change in the relationship, and so that's why sometimes people end up divorced, and not any marriage is perfect, you know. But
yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, be aware of the fact that if you are putting all of this out there and presenting yourself in this way, especially if you know if you're presenting yourself in a way that you know to be false, that it could backfire on you.
Right.
And at this point, I do feel like having those kinds of like my personality, my brand is built around my relationship is the same as like getting someone's name tattooed on you.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm like, because you are really banking on the fact that nothing is going to change or go wrong.
In this day and age, in the year of
our Lord,
our Beyonce 2022, Al Gore's internet keeps all the fucking receipts.
That's right.
You're not going to be able to get away with it.
No.
You're not. You're going to get caught. There's like, you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
You're going to get caught especially in a lie. You're going to get caught
doing this shit in public. Bold.
Come on.
Bold. Because you are recognizable. Like, you are not Beyonce.
Did it at
but
a Harry Styles concert.
You are somebody who, like, I would recognize them. Any one of them, I would recognize them if I saw them at fucking Whole Foods. You know what I mean? So I'm
I mean, our days of being able to just cheat in public are really slimming.
Yeah.
Well, you shared that article, the Facebook group that was created.
Right.
Are we dating the same guy?
That's exactly right.
Listen, if you're in a relationship and or you're just starting to date people, look this up on Facebook if you're still on
different
there.
Different cities have them.
Yeah, and you can share receipts on there. And I think that is fucking wonderful.
Yeah, I love it.
That's maybe the like one, two things that are good on Facebook these days.
It's the only thing.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Might not be around for much longer.
I legitimately only use Facebook for groups. This group, cat funny picture groups, the end.
I actually also belong to quite a few different romance scam groups. Only for to help like protect my mom.
You're taking notes. It's like a master class.
You're like, I'm learning all of them. That way, like, if anything catches my ear from mom, I'm like, mom, no.
Yep.
He's not on an oil rig.
No.
Honey.
Oh, no. Wow. Oh, well, I actually had an idea for somebody that we can FMK this week, but I thought that we could fuck, marry, kill, like, pop stars.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Specifically female like or?
Pop princesses or
yeah,
pop,
let's do pop,
any pop star?
Pop princesses.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
Ooh, the world is my oyster. You know what? I'm gonna throw Lizzo out there.
Nice.
I feel
wonderful.
Like
wonderful.
I feel like Lizzo is just so big right now. Do you see she played like James Madison's flute and conservatives lost their fucking minds.
Love to see it.
Oh my God.
Love to see it. Love to see it. I'm gonna go with this might be random, and I don't know that I would call her a pop princess. And maybe this is just, I'm going with Pink. I know that's really weird, but I'm going with Pink.
She is often ignored from that era of music. It's always, it was Britney versus Christina, but people slept on Pink. You're right.
I love Pink.
Okay. Yeah, I'll put Pink. I am going for, I think I got to go with Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga's great.
Yeah, that's...
She's like the queen of all Aries. She's got real Aries energy.
She really does. I wonder, is she?
She is.
Oh, okay.
And that tracks.
And Lizzo is a Taurus.
Interesting.
Tracks. Oh, okay. Well, that actually... changes things for me a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. I gotta know what pink is. Yeah. I feel like she might be a water sign, if I'm honest.
We've done pink before. I think she's an earth sign. I think so. Oh, okay. I think she's a Virgo.
What I love is the really different like personalities or personas too in there.
Yeah, they're three extremely confident women. They're very confident.
I do love that all three of their brands are very inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Because Lady Gaga now has House Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzo, I cannot wait to get my hands on some of that Yitty. This is not an ad. We are not getting paid. It's not sponsored by Lizzo. But I want to get my hands on some of that shit so bad. I just keep seeing TikToks of people putting them on and looking snatched to fucking heaven. And I'm like, I need it. I need it. I want to be one of those people who can pull off wearing like a shorts, like leotard.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and like a pair of boots or something and wear it in public and not look fucking ridiculous.
Oh my God.
I want it I think so
that,
bad.
That era for me was 20 years ago, but yeah.
I want it for myself, but I don't know if it's in the cards. I don't know if it's in the cards for me.
She's a Virgo.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, I just had to like take the really long route because.
So much sense.
You write pink birthday. And then it was like, just oh, God. Pink sign. Then it was literally just pink signs. And I was like, oh, my God. What's pink's birthday?
Yeah, I think we did do her before. That's why I remembered Virgo. Okay. I'm happy to do her again because I do like pink a lot.
I mean, I can pick somebody else.
Oh, I don't care. No.
I like pink.
All right,
I enjoy her. I really, like back in the day, I really liked pink a lot. Some of her music has not aged well. I re-listened to something and I was like, oh, God. But it was really? The early 2000s.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Of course. It was like, that's everybody. But I do think that she is such a confident person. She's somebody who's been very open. Like her and her husband, Carrie Hart, they had seem problems. To really, really love each other. But they are a couple who like had problems.
Mm-hmm. Worked through them.
Publicly, but dealt with them, I think, in a very like mature and respectful way of each other. And like, mm-hmm.
I really dig their relationship. Yeah, I do.
It felt very honest at a time when you weren't getting that kind of like honesty from people where they're just like, we love each other, but sometimes he gets on my fucking nerves. And like, you know, I appreciated that.
This one's really hard.
It is.
It is hard.
I think I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
What you going to do? I think I know what I'm going to do. And I think that I don't know. I'm torn. Okay. I think that I am going to marry pink.
Okay.
And I think because I could not date another Aries.
Mm. No.
I mean, not like marry.
God, that would
the
be.
Energy.
I could not marry. And
you wouldn't listen if you were married to Lady Gaga, you would not be getting enough attention. That's just the way that would go because she will suck all the attention out of the room.
Yeah.
Not necessarily,
I mean, but honestly, but try.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
wow, that
challenge accepted.
Yeah, Cassie heard a challenge for real.
She's like, oh, are we challenging? No, shit. I'm gonna marry pink. I think that. I do. I think that she has a really honest energy. I think that she's,
I love a Virgo.
She's no bullshit. I'm kind of hit or miss on Virgos. I don't know enough. I love a Virgo energy. I love the ones that I know. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love that they are no bullshit. And I love no bullshit. I love that they're just,
I need that kind of structure. Virgos are so good.
I made
a TikTok a while ago because I feel like people are really mean to Virgos.
Mm. Capricorn as a Virgo rising, I'm structure on structure.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
But I love that. I need that in my life. I need somebody to kind of keep me.
And
keep
I think
me
that
on the-
Virgo is closest to a Capricorn in that way.
Yeah,
and that makes sense since my husband's Capricorn. You know, best friend's Capricorn. My son's Capricorn. I got a lot of Capricorn energy around me, so I feel like that's a good move for me.
Yeah,
I am going to fuck Lady Gaga because challenge fucking accepted, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
you're gonna break some furniture.
We are gonna
certainly
break.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm gonna friend Lizzo because I'm choosing friendship.
Okay.
And there is no fucking way.
Yeah.
No, not on my
watch.
Not on your watch.
No, and certainly not on Mike. We don't need that kind of heat coming our way.
First of all, and never anyway. Yeah. Mike or no Mike. I just she also seems amazing. I will tell you, the thing that really tipped it over for me, though, was the Taurus thing. I was like,
You're a Taurus rising, aren't you?
No.
Yes, you are. We've had this conversation several times.
Gemini rising. Crap. I have it.
Taurus
saved.
Is in your big three.
It is in my, it's in my chart, but it's not in my top three.
I would bet you money because we've had this exact conversation.
Because it's like,
and you keep blotting it out of your head because you don't want to like Tauruses.
Well, I think that my statement stands then.
I know what I'm going to do. I actually posted a TikTok the other day. Mm-hmm. I came across a video of a beautiful woman twerking.
Oh, yeah.
And I was so obsessed with mm-hmm. it. I watched it.
Ask me how many times I've watched that video.
Dude, I watched that.
So many times.
Your video? I watched your video like 15 times.
I was like... I watched it, and I watched it with Eric, and he just started laughing because I was like, you don't realize, mm-mm. like, we wouldn't know each other if I could do that. And I told him that. Yeah. I was like, we wouldn't know each other because I would be on a whole nother level if I could twerk like that. And I'm going to marry Lizzo because she's going to fucking teach me.
Oh, yeah.
She is going to fucking teach me how to move my body. She is so body positive and confident, and the way that she moves is just amazing, and I just want to soak all of that in. Mm-hmm. I think she's so fun. I think she's down to earth, and just all of her friends I want to be friends with, so yeah. I'm marrying Lizzo.
There are a few people who I feel like you can look at and just say, like, they make me feel good just by watching.
Right? Just
like
watching
any video she puts up, I'm just like, why does this make me smile? It just makes me feel good.
And also, why aren't we friends?
I would love to be friends.
Why are we not friends?
I feel like because I tend to be a serious person, Lizzo has the most joyous soul of the three. I mean,
you're right.
You know
that
what I mean?
True.
And I need that energy in my life. Mm-hmm. And she just definitely seems to be the one that just has... I mean, she's just joyful. Everything I see from her, it makes me happy. So, I'm going to marry her.
She really thrives on making other people happy, it looks like. You know?
And I would love to be like her manager, and I'll keep things very organized for her.
Yeah.
You're like, Lizzo, listen.
Listen, I got you. And then for fucking, I think I got to go pink.
Yeah. Well, we know you can't.
I can't. Yeah. You know me and Aries.
Yeah. It's really hard because I love Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
So much. Like, I think she is incredible. She's like, I think that her energy is incredible. She's so talented.
So smart. So driven. Smart.
Yeah. So ambitious. But it scares me a little. Like, I'm like, it might be. I'm willing to say that, like, I'm intimidated. Like, truly, I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm a little
it's
intimidated.
Like dating a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm a little intimidated by her. I don't think I could marry her for that reason because I'm scared. I love a Virgo. Virgos keep my life on track. I also love a Taurus. I love earth signs, just period. But I think I'm going to marry Lizzo. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm going to marry Lizzo. I just feel like if I'm coming home from like a hard day's work.
I honestly feel like that's the most similar to Tony.
It is.
Yeah. For sure.
She's got just a real pure energy about her, like a really pure quality. I feel like she would help me make me feel like my most confident self as well. Yeah. Like she would never let anybody talk bad about me fucking ever, you know.
Oh no.
Oh, right.
Hell ever. No. Like she would step in and fight for you for sure. Although so would Pink and Lady Gaga, I think.
I wouldn't want to. Pink looks like she can throw hands.
And she can.
I want to work out with Pink.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
Her arms are like absolutely and her abs.
I want to take singing lessons for her. She did this version of Me at Bobby McGee that's absolutely fucking amazing.
Her voice is gorgeous. Yeah. Love her. Yeah. I love her too.
That whole thing that she did with the spinning like in the water.
I want her to teach me how to do that, like aerial stuff, because she's good at that. I think I'm going to fuck Pink for that reason. She just feels like she is athletic.
Yeah.
We are going to do, we're going to do stuff in a swing, suspended from the ceiling. Like
I mean this in a good way, but I also feel like she has the most masculine energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know what you mean.
I can take that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, she's,
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I feel like she's going to take you on a date, like, dirt bike riding.
Like, her and her husband.
Yeah. Yes. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
Is that what he does? Yeah. Yeah. Motocross or whatever. Yeah. I feel like she would do that stuff with you.
She definitely seems like she could do a backyard barbecue too.
We're going to get all the tattoos is what we're going to do.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, and then I am going to friend Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Yes, because I don't want to kill anybody in this scenario. And I would love to go out with Lady Gaga. It's one of my favorite gifts. That thing where she's like, club, another club, bar, limo, another club. I'm like, that sounds like a really fun night. So,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Ooh, that all was right. A good one. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Yes. Okay. And we're back. All right, Cass, kick us off with stories.
Okay. So this is kind of long. I'm warning you.
Okay.
A little bit. But it must be told. This is called My First Date in Korea. And I'm not telling you the rest. Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
So I had been sent to Korea for my from my university a few years ago. They told me for my major, I had to go somewhere in Asia. And my friend had really talked up Korea to me. I knew nothing about it, but decided, what the hell? And I embarked on a semester-long trip. I had only one serious boyfriend in my life who I had broken up with a few months prior. I also don't enjoy one night stands and wasn't digging like dudes in the club scene in Seoul. But I still wanted to have some kind of sort of like romantic experience. So I suppose one of my friends recommended I use this dating app to meet English speaking Koreans. That way I could meet someone and experience the actual dating culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm young. Why not?
Yeah. That actually sounds like it would be fun.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe it sounds done to try dating in a foreign country, but it worked out for me eventually. Again, though, really cool of her to be like,
I
you know what?
Yeah. It would be a really cool experience. I think it'd be something that I would like really be interested in doing. Have you seen all
those
TikToks?
Do you think her husbands would mind? If we just were like, you know,
we got to do it for the podcast.
Research
for science.
Back to the date. She does say that eventually it does work out, but not this first date. I met him on a dating app after being in Seoul for about 3 weeks. Let's call him Tim. I still don't know the culture or the city very well and was a bit naive about everything. He eagerly wanted to meet for a date after talking to me and he seemed nice. I should have asked more questions and I should have noticed that he was not giving me many details about himself. Tim was a guy a bit older than me, but claimed he was still a college student. I assumed he had done his military time, as all men in Korea have to, and returned to school. He talked for a bit and decided to meet for a tea date near the school I went to. He wanted to come to my dorm originally to pick me up, but I live in an all-women's dorm, and I didn't want him to know exactly where I lived.
Mm, smart.
Yeah, yep. Very smart. So instead, I insisted that we meet at the main town center near a subway. The night of the date, I waited for this guy for a fucking hour.
No, okay, no.
He was very late. Tim weirdly claimed that he just wanted to make me wait. This is you, Christina. You just talked about this.
No. Yeah, I do. I don't like that this trend.
Awful trend.
Wait, what? Is this a trend?
We talked about it.
It's like, it's a huge thing. It happened to the girl we met in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh. And then I see it on a bunch of TikToks where people are like.
I remember you saying that. No. Oh, no.
Don't make me wait.
Oh, my God.
I just want to make you wait. What?
I'll wait. 20 minutes tops. Bye.
And it's because you've texted me and told me you were lost or whatever. I don't know.
Right. I mean, look, I could be convinced to wait longer if you were actively in communication with me and I understood that like you were on your way, you got stuck on something, like something, or you want to like maybe that would give us the opportunity to reschedule or something. But like if you're making me wait just to make me wait, it's so disrespectful. Like yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm busy. What are you doing?
Seriously.
I thought he was kidding and messaged him a laughing emoji, assuming he was just lost. But when he finally arrived, when he finally arrived, right off the bat, he was way too touchy with me and breathed creepy and heavy. I was just so off-putting with his demeanor. I'm usually very tolerant with different personality types, but this was very odd to me. I had been told that Korean men would be very polite and not so touchy on the first date. He was also dressed a little bit oddly, like a business attire for a date. But I thought maybe it's a Korean thing. I was dumb and knew jack shit about the culture. So then the first thing he says to me was, "You're not as white as I thought you were."
Ooh.
No.
I thought thought this was a translation error, but his English was near perfect. So I asked for clarification, and he said what he meant, "I thought you would be more white. Your skin is darker than I thought, and your eyes aren't as green.
Oh, no.
Are you pure European?"
Bitch.
Now, I was officially weirded out. First of all, I'm pretty much as white as you can get. I'm Irish and Scandinavian, so white as hell, basically. So the fact he thought I could have possibly been any whiter was funny. And why did he care in the first place anyway? Why does my skin color matter to this guy? And why is he bringing it up? He said about 3 times on the date how he wished I had greener eyes.
Okay, this date is over. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, this date is over. You made me wait an hour just to make me wait, which, first of all, we're starting off pissed off.
Yeah, I don't like
and
that.
And now you're making comments. You're giving me unsolicited commentary about my, like, my skin and my eyes. We're done. We're done.
And he was like, well, maybe my online photos make them look brighter, and brush it off as him just being
even
nervous.
Even if you edited your fucking eyes to make them look brighter, this motherfucker shouldn't be out here fucking saying that
shit. I really wish your eyes were greener. Like, what the fuck is wrong with
okay.
you? Okay. So maybe I just brush it off as him being nervous and try to start a conversation. Isn't it funny and dumb excuses we make for people when you're panicked? When we arrived at the tea place, I tried to order a basic raspberry tea, and he stopped me and told me I had to have the special tea. I thought it was weird he wanted me to choose my tea for me, but in my head, I brushed it off once again. He really insisted I drink only this tea type, and I just agreed. These small details became weirder later. After tea, he asked me to look around, if we could go look around my school. It was dark, but the school was very well lit, so I agreed. And the whole time, we just walked around randomly, stopped, and grabbed me for long hugs. At first, I let it happen, but then I stopped him. And he just kept trying. He kept grabbing me, breathing hard into my neck. It was so awkward. Ew. I'm breathing heavy into my neck. Get off me.
There are few things that are like less attractive than like warm breath. Like somebody's like warm, like condensation breathing.
He also would not tell me any personal details about himself. I asked him so many questions, desperately trying to distract from all of the awkward grabbing and to try to get to know him. But he would never tell me anything. He even said at one point, "I'm a mysterious man," like a movie line.
James Bond?
He also said something like, "You look so much like my favorite movie character." And I asked who, but he said that I would have to figure it out on my own.
Oh my God.
Finally, he said, "I want to go to a dark area." And in my head, I screamed, "Hell no." Mm-mm. At this point, I wanted this date over fast. He somehow knew that there was a wooded area behind my campus.
Not going into the woods with
this man. We should go there.
No.
I said no. And that I wanted to stay near campus and town, but he kept pushing. Finally, he grabbed my arm and started dragging me
there.
He said, "I can't let anyone see." And I started to panic. I finally ripped my arm away and just demanded we leave and go back to the main road immediately. Looking back, I don't know why I didn't ask for help or get angry. Maybe I was scared, but I just began to book it back to the main road and he followed.
Oh, God.
We ended up in front of a hospital near the center of town, and I told him it was time for him to go. I made some excuse, and he was pleading for me to stay. I told him we could meet the next day, lying, and I would message him. I just wanted to get away from him at this point. I was pretending it was all okay just so he would leave. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I think he's leaning in to kiss me, and immediately I think, oh, God, no, but it's so much worse.
No.
Instead, I feel pain in my face. It takes me a second to realize he's biting my face.
No.
It was like a dog. I had never felt the sensation before.
Oh, no.
He leaned his head sideways and bit me on my nose and cheek as hard as he could.
What?
No.
Why?
Get away from me. I screamed, pushed him away. His face looked so freaky and I barely had time to react in words. Instead, I just ran up the sidewalk until I saw a convenience store on the right. I ran to the back of the store, bent down, and started crying. The man who owned the store started yelling at me, but I couldn't explain my situation. I just begged him in English if I could stay. I ended up having to buy a popsicle to stick around. What? Oh my God. The fuck? I wish I had learned some Korean by then. I guess Tim didn't follow me. I peered outside the store and he didn't see him. I texted a friend and waited for them to get me to take me back to the dorm. On the way, I messaged him and basically told him to stay away from me. I told him he was a creep and that he shouldn't pipe women.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Something you really need to be told.
Yeah. Something you really should not need to tell someone. I was so scared to walk around my school area after that. I was so afraid he would find me somehow. I'm so thankful I never let him pick me up at my dorm. I called my mom to tell her what happened, and suddenly she said, "Wait, what did he ask you?" She then put some details together and realized that all of these weird things had to do with 50 Shades of Grey book.
Okay.
What?
At first, I thought she was just being silly and overthinking a bad date. I thought she was joking, but oh my God, she was right. She had recently seen the movie or read the book of something and knew the details, the eye color and the way he dressed and the tea he made me drink and all the random lines he said. It all matches the books Ew. And the movies for his dirty little fantasy. My mom thinks he picked me because I look like that girl in the movie to him. It explains why he was so fixated on my appearance and his whole thing about biting and trying to dominate
Whoa,
me.
Okay, but what? Look, let me be honest
Gross.
With you. I did not finish the movie 50 Shades of Grey, nor did I finish the book, but
I
from
read
what
both,
I
and none
got
of those
through,
things.
Thank you.
No.
I don't none recall Christian Grey biting her nose as hard as he no. could in public.
Or trying to like, get her to go into the woods.
No.
The
none
fucking
of that makes
woods
is the
no.
woods is
woods
oh my God. Even if it wasn't his intention, I later learned that there were a few creeps who seek out foreign girls to dominate and have sex with as like a
okay.
prize. They call it riding the white horse.
Oh no.
What?
Well, I can mark that
I
off of the
fucking hate that so much. Mm-hmm. On a happier note, this bad experience did not stop me. I eventually met someone else in Korea and we ended up falling in love. We even did the whole long distance thing, and now I'm living in Korea, studying and working, hoping to get married soon. So I guess it didn't let, I didn't let bad, creepy guys stop my life. As
Good.
For Tim, let's not meet.
Oh, yeah, ever. Wow. That's a lot.
Oh my God. Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's, ugh, that
You
was,
really threw oh. me with that. Face bite situation. I did not see that coming.
No,
not at all.
No one expects a Spanish Inquisition.
True.
That was
what is going on in the House of Commons. Okay.
What is going on in the House of Commons?
Okay. Many years ago, in the early days of the internet, I had a date with a man. He and I had been conversing through email, and which that's early days on the mm-hmm. internet. Like you're not on like match.com.
Nope.
It's not an eHarmony situation. You're Ooh. Communicating through email.
Yikes.
That's fun. Yikes. And we decided that we should meet. I selected a public park that was a very public place, and we decided that late afternoon after work would be an acceptable time. We met and sat down at one of the park picnic tables. Several mothers were there with their children, and they were playing on the playground equipment. The guy and I talked for a while, but I couldn't help noticing that he fidgeted quite a bit. I asked him what was wrong.
Cooking.
He stood cooking. Cooking. He stood up and said, "I'm a nudist and I hate wearing clothes."
Oh no. Ooh. We are in a park, sir, with children. With,
yeah.
My dude.
And he disrobed.
No, he did
no.
not. No, sir.
Completely.
Are you fucking kidding?
Now, I'm not the kind of person who gets upset by such things, but it does very much put me on guard. I noticed the mothers and children were facing the opposite direction, and I convinced my date to sit down on the backside of the table out of sight.
Oh, this is criminal.
Yes.
At this a is playground. A fucking crime.
You cannot.
Crime is happening right now on this date. I am shooken.
I
just took his clothes off.
I had a bite on the nose.
How does he survive in the world then?
Yeah, do you go to
Honestly,
work? Do you work from home?
Exactly. Do you go to Whole Foods? Like, keep your clothes on long enough to get through this fucking date and not fucking expose
wow.
yourself to children.
This would be weird if it was just her. It would still be fucking
yes.
weird. Like,
yes.
It's like you cannot... Yeah. just take off your clothes because you're uncomfy. How old are you?
Sir.
What's going on?
Oh my God.
I'm uncomfortable wearing a bra, but you just fucking do it.
Okay? You don't want to be titties akimbo.
Exactly.
I kept thinking, I'm going to be arrested. The police are going to come and haul us away.
Yep.
We talked for several more minutes in polite conversation. And when the mother started leaving with their children, I decided it was time for me to be leaving as well. Yes. I convinced him to remain where he was until the children had left. I didn't look back. There wasn't a second date. I also ended my short venture into internet dating.
Yep.
My family has a nickname for me, Dud Magnet. I have the worst luck in finding nice guys. Your family.
No.
Oh my God.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
There's no way this guy can function. I'm shook.
Questions.
That's so many questions.
A lot.
Wow. How does this guy get
the behavior
through life?
On this episode? What
does he do when he goes to the dentist? Like, the behavior. There's so many things.
Yeah, it's he's just fidgeting. They're trying to like fucking clean his teeth and he's just
I'm
wiggling.
Do
you guys care if I go ahead and take off all my clothes?
Yes.
I would feel way more comfortable that way.
Well, we would not. Yeah.
We wouldn't.
All right. I got a doozy for you. So this is a little bit of a listicle. I'll give you start with date number one.
Okay.
The guy showed up 20 minutes late and starts freaking out at me because I'm texting and, hey, I'm out front. Apparently messed up his phone navigation. Then he admits later that he has OCD and hallucinated hitting and killing a biker with his car and had to circle that block a certain number of times to make sure it wasn't real. Then later tells me.
No. What?
Yes.
No.
He's like, Mike, so you're 20 minutes. Oh, okay. All right. But then.
I mean, listen, intrusive thoughts are real and they fucking happen. I get it. But it's hot to come out the gate with.
Yeah.
I don't know you. And that's
feel like you really need to talk to somebody about that.
Well, if you want to turn the temperature up. He then tells me he has a pregnancy kink. After pressing a conversation about sex, and I verbatim said, I'm not comfortable talking about that with you right now, and that he wants to impregnate me.
Okay, Nick Cannon. Calm
thank
down.
You, thank you.
Slow down. We just met, my dude. No.
Oh, no.
Tried to kiss me at the end, and I moved my head, so he said, whoops, and then grabbed my shoulders and kept trying to hold me in one
that
place
wasn't a
to
mistake.
Kiss me.
It wasn't a whoopsie-daisy. That shit was intentional. My guy.
I dodged and kept saying no thanks. After three more attempts and me struggling, he finally stopped. Number two.
No, we can't get worse.
Guy lied about his name. Then told me his name on Hinge was his drunk personality.
Oh, whoa. Oh, it's his Sasha Fierce.
Oh, no.
Can't.
Yes. No.
I'm a diva. I'm a diva.
Okay, I'm sorry, but we should all give ourselves drunk personalities. Oh, never occurred
Roxy,
to me.
Roxy, obviously.
Then he mansplained my career that I studied and worked in for over 10 years while he had no education or experience in.
Sir.
And barely let me speak. Told him after, I'm not interested in dating him, so he asked to be friends. I say no thanks. He asked if we could be fuck buddies. I say I'm not looking for that.
No.
Then makes a weird text about how he wants to be in my life. And I say, no thanks, have a good one. Then texts me every Friday asking how my week was and calling me beautiful.
Stop.
And I just ignored it.
Every Friday he's got an alarm set.
Wow.
A month of this goes by and he says, all right, I can see when I'm being ghosted. Wish you would have been more mature. Sir, I said I didn't want to date you. I didn't want to have sex. And I don't want to be your friend. What's left?
Why are you still texting me?
Where's the ghost? I am visible.
Exactly. I was clearly you could see me. Number three, FaceTime date. Guy starts sweating and looks like he's going to cry.
Oh, no.
I ask if he's okay. If he wants to do this some other time, he is the one who spontaneously asked to FaceTime. And he says, no, I'll be fine. I'm just nervous. Then he takes a fat bong rip and we start a normal conversation.
Whoa.
I try to keep things easy, light, regular date stuff. He keeps going into rants about how all of his exes are whores.
Abort.
And here's a winner. I should have known she would be a bitch because she made a lot of money.
Wow.
It's great women can work, but when they're more successful than men, they don't really need me. So
leave
it's like,
meeting.
You're right. Why am I here?
End
oh,
call.
I know. I'm like slowly closing my laptop on. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah, honestly, that is one of those times where I'm like, this is a FaceTime date, sir. Yeah. I can literally just turn my phone off
and leave any easier. It's beautiful. You can yeet your fucking laptop out the window if you want. There's a million different ways to get out of this.
I'm flabbergasted, though. I don't know that I wouldn't want to stay and find out what the hell else this moron.
Well, she counters, well, isn't it better that she made her own money? Because then you knew she was dating you because she liked you and not because she financially relied on you. He changes the topic to another ex and just rants about how his mom is a cunt.
All right, wow. Andrew Tate. Okay, relax.
Bye-bye.
Fucking come on.
I cut him off and say, for the past 35 minutes, all he's done is speak about women in a negative way, totally unprompted. I said, even though those people may have hurt you, it's not a good look. And I don't want to speak to you anymore. He starts crying and saying he really likes me and begs me to go on a date with him.
Oh, don't worry. He'll be talking about you on his next FaceTime date.
I say no and hang up. Wake up the next morning and I have paragraphs from him about how I'll make him a better man. And we have a deep connection and I'm not like other girls. Just insane shit.
I don't want to make anyone a better person.
No. That's not my job. Am I getting paid as your fucking therapist?
Look,
am I your life coach?
Listen, I do. I hope I enrich the lives of the people in my life. That is wonderful.
But not that guy.
I am not here, though, to improve, to make you a better person. Like, that isn't my job. I'm not here to, I'm past the fix me phase.
Yep.
We're not doing this anymore.
No.
Okay. This isn't my job. Stop, get help, hire somebody.
The only person I'm responsible to fix is myself. And that is it. That is the end.
Correct.
Go to therapy.
Wow.
Stop it.
Those three bangers, and that would make me take a break for a minute.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get off that.
Started crying. He started crying.
Sir.
My mom's a bitch.
My mom's a cunt.
Okay. Okay, sir. All
right, sir.
All right.
Oh, oof. Man. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with the tainted love?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. And we're back. And I have the tainted love, you guys. All right. So I found this tainted love, and because it's spooky season, I wanted to do one with like a little bit of a spooky twist.
Okay.
I'm giving it a lot of levity, which I should not be doing. This is not a very, it's not a nice story. It's a very bad story. It's a very sad story. But it does have a twist into the occult. So,
okay.
So
I do love our tainted loves in October.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get. It's like,
yeah.
Throw everything against the wall. Here we go.
Yep.
This is, it was interesting. When I saw it, I was like, oh, geez, that is, okay, here we go. So this happened in 2005. It's October 3rd, 2005. It's 3 a.m. in the morning. And Robert Blythe, he is with I am really blanking.
Sometimes that happens.
Sheriff's Department. Thank you. Sheriff's Department. Okay. And he's dispatched to this home in this southeast Illinois town near an area called Claremont. When he arrives to the home, he gets there and there is a pregnant woman outside and is like, oh my God, there's been, some people have been stabbed and somebody's been shot. And she's panicking, right?
Oh no.
And she's literally like just in a panic, right? So the officer goes inside, Blythe goes in, he's like looking around and he sees right away this guy that he recognizes. This is a small town in southeast Illinois. I mean, so he, like, these are people who all know each other. It's a community. Yeah. It's small town. He knows this guy right away. It's Jackie Jackson. He's 23 years old. And he is standing, he has blood on himself and he was like, thankfully, guy knew him. I mean, he might have got shot otherwise, right? So the, you know, officer goes in. He's like, what's happened? What's going on? He still doesn't know either. So he's like, I know him and I kind of trust that I know this guy. But also, too, I don't know the lay of the land right now. I see one guy on the floor who's clearly been shot, one guy who has a stab wound. And then just past that is another woman with multiple stab wounds.
Oh, God.
And Oh, Jackie. God.
Horror story. Can you imagine showing up and seeing that? Like, that's terrifying.
Tragic. Like, it's tragedy. He's like, what happened? And Jackie is freaking out, of course. So the officer goes to kind of see like what's going on, kind of assess the situation. The guy who had been shot, he's still living, but he is bleeding out. So, you know, the emergency team starts arriving. The other man who's been stabbed, he's been stabbed in the chest, just one stab wound, but is bleeding out profusely and starting really like a sanguine, you know.
Right.
So then the woman, she's been stabbed multiple times, but she is still alive. And so they, by the time that the squad, the emergency vehicles get there, the boy who'd been stabbed is dead.
Ugh.
And but the man who's been shot is still alive. And then the woman who's been stabbed multiple times is also still alive.
Okay.
So they get them, head them off to the hospital.
Multiple weapons, I feel like.
A lot going on here, right?
A lot going on, yeah.
Imagine you show up, you're just some small town sheriff's
There's
department.
Also a dude just covered in blood.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's the deal with him?
Yeah. So he takes Jackie outside, and he's Jackie Jackson takes him outside, which, by the way, I watched part of this on Snap, or watched this on Snap to get part of my information. And the way they said Jackie Jackson like 50 times,
Jackson,
so many times.
Jackie Jackson. I mean, some people's names are just meant to just be said like that. I think I've said it before.
I have a friend named Kat Sasby, and I can't not just, she's not just Kat, she's Kat Sasby.
There's a, one of those people who has like big billboards, one of those like lawyers who has like big billboards, but he's like a lawyer and a surgeon. Like that was his whole thing. In Springfield, and his name is Brad Bradshaw. Brad Bradshaw. And I feel like anytime you say it, you have to be like Brad Bradshaw.
Brad Bradshaw.
Right?
Like, that reminds me of like, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Exactly.
Fucking Arrested Development.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God. Anyway, so Jackie, like, he goes outside with the officer, and he's like, all I know is I wake up from a sound. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I hear commotion happening upstairs. Jackie and his pregnant girlfriend, who's the one who was outside, Lindsay, they were downstairs sleeping. They heard a commotion upstairs. And Jackie was like, get out of here. Like, she was able to sneak out, run to the neighbors and call the police. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I
have to see what's going on.
He's like, so I grabbed my shotgun and run upstairs to see what's going on. He's like, there were two and like home invaders like that had come in. Both of them are wearing masks. He's like, oof. I don't know how to describe him, but I do know that he got a stab in the leg. Because,
home invasion.
Yeah. So he said when he got upstairs, he took the gun and took the butt of it and hit the guy who had stabbed the one boy, mm-hmm. had a knife and hit him. He fell down. And then the other guy grabbed the shotgun from him by the barrel and was like trying to wrestle it from him. So he shot him to, you know, like stop him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it stood. So he's like, well, who are all these people? And he's like, I don't know who these people are who came into the house. He's like, but the boy that was stabbed is Joshua Bennett, and his mother are the two that were stabbed. And they were like,
oh, so the dude then that was shot was one of the home invaders.
Was the home invaders, okay. Right? Because he grabbed the barrel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but he's like, there is another guy. And after I shot the guy, the other guy started to get up and went to grab the knife, but he got the knife and stabbed him in the leg and he ran.
Can we talk about how scary home invasion is?
Oh.
Like the idea of home invasion is so scary to me.
It's terrifying.
Totally terrifying to me.
I still, like, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life was that Strangers?
Oh, yeah, it's Strangers, The Strangers. I saw that in theaters. That movie is so scary. I always think of that first when I think of home invasion.
Yeah.
And then I think of Funny Games.
Oh,
did you ever see Funny Games?
No.
Funny Games scared the shit out of me. And you know, like, I watch a lot of horror movies. And like, I really don't feel like I get that scared that often. Funny Games made me feel so uncomfortable. Ooh. And it's a home invasion
thing,
and it made me feel so unsettled by the end of the movie that I was like, I don't want to sleep because I feel unsettled. Like, I'm not like terrified, I'm like really
just like on edge. Feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Home invasions are so scary.
So scary. And especially, again, like you're talking 3 a.m. People are sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like just falling asleep. You're like full on.
Waking up in the middle of the night to someone in your home in a mask. Like no. Nothing. Like, oh, God.
So, and he's like, I just don't understand. So here's, so to tell you a little bit about who the victims are, Joshua Bennett is, he's a young kid. He's like 20 years old. Ugh. He is in town because he is, so it's a bit of a long story. Joshua Bennett grew up in a small town in the area called Maltoon, Illinois. He grew up with his mom and his dad, but they got divorced when he was somewhat young. He decided he wanted to stay with his dad. So he had a really great relationship with his dad. And, you know, throughout the years, he's a young boy living with his dad. They're living kind of like a bachelor lifestyle, you know. And throughout the years, he kind of not lost touch with his mom, but they did become a little bit estranged.
Okay.
So he graduates high school. He goes into, he's at ROTC. He's like joins the military. He's in Louisiana because he's about to get, he got stationed there right out of boot camp and he's about to be deployed. He is, gets a message from his, from like one of his commanders or something, like basically like, hey, bad news.
Oh no.
Your dad just passed.
Oh, no.
So completely unexpected. His dad passed away. So he is basically on leave to go home to, you know, put his father to rest. Like he's, you know, back in town. And during that time, he's, you know, like, you know, nostalgic. And he's like thinking, it'd be nice to reconnect with my mom. You know, I'm here. I'm about to be, you know.
Right. He's lost a parent.
Yeah.
And that makes you, it does make you reevaluate things with your other family members. It always does.
For sure.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So he was like, you know, let's maybe it's time to make a reconnection with my mom. So his mom is Jacqueline, and Jacqueline is living with her now boyfriend at the time. I think his name was Lee. They're living in this house. And so he decides to go over that night. He's going to have, he has dinner with them and stays the night. And what happened is when these people broke into the house, Jacqueline went down the hallway and like caught off guard, was stabbed by these people. And so I'm certain probably hearing the commotion, he woke up, came down the hall and, you know, basically got in the path.
Was he living there or was he just visiting?
Staying there?
Just visiting. Yeah.
Because he was visiting his mom before he was deployed. Right.
That is so sad.
Very sad. That's kind of how that's why he's even there. But this is Jacqueline's home that she shares with her boyfriend, Lee. Jackie is Lee's son.
Okay.
So Jackie Jackson is there because he is Lee's son and he and his pregnant girlfriend are living there for the meantime.
You've got a Jacqueline and a Jackie.
Yes.
And it's Jackie Jackson.
Jack Jackson.
Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot of Jack
you broke
situation.
It down very well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That answers I know. All of my questions.
Good. Because there's a lot of people involved and there's a lot of people in this house and a lot's going on, right?
Similar name situation as well.
Yes.
I understand. It's
Jackie
tricky.
Is a guy. Jacqueline is the mother. Uh-huh. Jackie is the son
Got
of
it.
Yeah, her boyfriend.
Lee.
Anyway.
Got it.
So they're like, what is happening? Like, why would these people, like, why, what kind of home invasion was this? Like, so they go running out to, like, out in the woods, and the police start to scan the area. They're looking for anybody with an injury. And then they put, of course, a notice out to all the local hospitals. They're like, if you hear anything, somebody comes in with a stab wound, you let us know, right?
Right.
In the meantime, they have another set of sheriffs who are at the hospital who are trying to interview the first guy. And the first guy, they're like, you know, he's been shot. He's not in great shape. But they're like, if he ends up passing, we're going to get nothing out of him. So felt very much like a TV show where they're like, you know, the nurses are like, well, you can't really talk right now. You know, they're like, but we need something. It felt very much like, you know, we have to get something. Mm-hmm. We have to get anything from this guy. And so, So the police, again, looking for information, it's in bad condition, but they're able to learn that the guy who, with the gunshot wound, that was one of the invaders, his name is David Lindner. And he only knows that his partner's name is Ricky. That's all he knows. And David tells the police that the lady in the house had put a hex on them. And that's why they were there to kill her.
Oh,
Jackie?
he doesn't say. He says the lady in the house.
Oh, so Jacqueline.
Jacqueline's
sorry,
the lady.
Jacqueline yeah. or Jackie's girlfriend. Those are two women That's who live right. in the house,
so
right?
Lindsay, Jackie's girlfriend.
Okay.
Or
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
Okay.
Right? And so they assume Jacqueline because she's the one who's been stabbed, right? So.
Right. And when they, I hear lady, I don't know, yeah. when I hear lady in the house, I think lady of the house. And yeah, I'm like,
yeah,
that's the
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. The person. Well,
and now master of the house is in my head. So
master
thanks.
Of the house.
Yeah. So David is, he is like, we had to kill her. She had a hex on us and we absolutely had to kill her.
And the police are like, come again?
Yeah. They're mm-hmm. like, pardon? Excusez-moi. So they go to interview Jacqueline, who's doing actually much better. She's in recovery from three stab wounds. And she tells the police, she's like, I have no idea who a David Lidner is. And she is completely baffled about like this whole witchcraft thing that he's bringing up.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't have a clue what these people are talking about. None of that doesn't even make sense. So that same morning, just after 8 a.m., the Lawrence County Memorial Hospital calls and they're like, hey, so we did get somebody with a stab wound. Mm-hmm. He's being very sketchy.
You want to come get him?
We want to come check this out? So the police do. They head over and they actually meet the guy coming out of the hospital as they're coming in. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, come on over here, sir. Let's have a little talky
right
talk.
Right in, yeah.
Yeah, let's have a little talky talk. And they find out quickly the guy's name's Oscar Eck. And he's like, so they look at his ID and it's Oscar R. Eck. And he's like, oh, yeah, my middle name is Richard, but I go by Ricky. People call me Ricky.
Okay.
Okay. So this is all starting to track. This is all starting to come together. Ricky said he got injured during just a drywall. He was doing some drywall, 8 a.m.
And a knife fell out of the drywall.
A knife fell out of the drywall right into his leg. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I don't do home improvement. Yeah. You would be lucky if I was able to like hang a picture straight in my house.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know. Is drywall like a dangerous situation?
I mean, I guess maybe if you were like doing it on stilts, doing a real tall ceiling kind of thing, it could be tricky and it could be dangerous.
I
but
don't
it's
think
not
like
really
sharp objects.
You
so
use
maybe,
you use
maybe
a
an
knife.
X-Acto knife you, to cut it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So maybe you drop the knife and it like stabs you in the leg or something.
The knives like, that they use are just the ones that you push up, like the
box cutters.
Like a, yeah,
box
cutter
knife. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I'm just saying because yeah. I'm like. Doesn't seem like the most dangerous job in the world,
right?
But
it doesn't feel like you're getting a stab wound into
your leg.
But
accidents happen. Who knows?
It feels like something like the stab wound that you would get from a box cutter doesn't feel like the kind you would need to go to the hospital for, if I'm honest.
Also, tell me about the hex, Ricky.
Yeah. So while being interviewed in the parking lot, two women come up and join them. It's Irina Kottner and Jenny Wolf. While Oscar or Ricky stayed at the hospital for treatment, the officers asked Jenny and Irina to join them at the station to be interviewed. Just like, hey, you know, I know you're coming to pick up your friend here.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about what's going on? And of course, they don't have a clue what's going on. But they do agree to go to the station to be interviewed. But they don't have anything substantial. Like literally they talk to him, but there's nothing to go on. And so they have to let Renia and Jenny go. Police, meanwhile, are doing a background check on Oscar, who has no prior convictions, nothing of any note at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're like, okay, well, let's check out where he lives. So they go to his home and they meet his roommate. And roommate's like, sure, come on in. Misty is like, sure, guys, for sure, come on in. And they notice right away that Misty has some books on the coffee table that are about the occult, and they're like, that feels suspicious considering the way that we've been told about the hex, and we would like to dive more into that,
right?
And so they're like, hey, Misty, why don't you come down to the office? Come down to the
come
office.
Come down to my office.
Yeah. Come to my office. You're fucking fired. They're like, let's take you to the station, find out what's going on. Maybe you have some more information. And so, you know, Missy does go to the station and does admit that she knows Jenny and Irina, and that they had all worked together at a local store. And they met at the store and they kind of shared some common interests, and those interests were, you know, witchcraft, mostly like light witchcraft, like sage your home
light
and, yeah, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah Yes.
Witchcraft crystals.
Dabbling. Yeah. Just kind of dabbling in diet
witchcraft.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm into it.
I'm 100. Yeah.
Go for it.
Would say Chalice would have crystals.
Love do, witch talk do. Too, by the way.
Witch talk is a lot of fun.
Amazing.
It's really fun over there.
Yeah.
It's really fun and also slightly weird. Like sometimes you get some witch talks where you're like, is this okay?
Yeah.
Am I a hex?
This feels borderline. They're like, how to make someone fall in love with you. And I'm like, I think maybe we've gone too far.
Supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were doing kind of just small time stuff, saging, again, candle ceremonies, seances. Yeah. And it started getting a little bit more and more. Irenia, the eldest of the friends, like she's their elder by like 10, 15 years. Like, so she's quite a bit older than them, but you know, they all have this common interest, but she claims the position of coven, leader of their coven. And
she gave herself that title. Like, she's like,
I'm the oldest. Ipso facto, I am the leader of this coven.
There you go.
I love that energy when people are just like, I'm the leader now.
I'm
like,
boss.
Okay.
I'm the but I mean, I think that what kind of had started happening anyway was that it was naturally doing that, because it kind of feels like maybe she was kind of more into the witchcraft thing or knew maybe more about it. And when you kind of lead with having a little bit more knowledge, it's easier to kind of take control.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially when you're just kind of a baby witch and you're just like, oh, this sounds fun, tell me more. And then you just kind of get more and more involved in it based off of what you're trusting someone's knowledge, right?
Yeah,
right.
So Misty does recall that the tone of the ceremonies becomes more menacing, and that Irenia had started to complain about a hex that had been put on the coven. And Misty said that she believed it was true because Irenia's dogs were mysteriously getting sick and dying, as though they were like being poisoned. Also, connecting Misty's bout with depression and migraines to the hex. She's like, you know these migraines you've been having lately? The hex.
Oh, okay. All right.
Someone put a hex on me? I feel like
you've had a bad day. It's that fucking hex on our coven, you guys.
I have migraines and depression. So maybe I should look into that.
Yeah. Well, it's the hex. And, you know, and so she starts to like really equate anything that's happening bad to this hex that's been put on them. And she claims that this hex has been placed on the coven by Lindsay Kasinger. She's the pregnant woman from the crime scene.
Huh. Okay.
Also, Jackie Jackson, by the way, Misty tells the cops, Jackie Jackson, he used to actually be in a relationship with Irenia.
Uh-huh.
So that's, it's weird. It is weird that they had a relationship and now that
and now she's responsible for a hex
on her family. But, you know, and also this hex isn't just on us, you guys. It's going to extend to our actual families. Our families could be in real danger. So she's Jackie Jackson and Irenia were in a relationship for almost 4 years. She's 10 years his senior. Jackie broke up with her ostensibly for a younger woman. But I mean, it's also like this is a big age gap for a 20 some year old kid.
Yeah, he broke up with her.
He's 23 when the story begins.
Yeah, so he broke up with her
relationship.
And started dating somebody.
Oh, so he was like 19 and she was 29.
Yeah.
We don't like that.
Yeah, there's a Demi Lovato song about that.
Well, actually probably even younger because his girlfriend Lindsay is pregnant.
Right.
So you're looking at maybe like 18, 28.
Oof. I don't love that.
Hopefully not younger.
Right. So, but they do break up. Jackie does start dating Lindsay and she becomes pregnant and they're starting like an actual life together.
Yeah. I don't like the phrasing of like he left her for a younger woman because it's like their relationship ended and he started dating someone so his own age.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like that's all that happened.
But in her mind.
Yes.
And the way that Missy's telling it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, it's a younger woman. It's someone his age. Calm down, ma'am. Misty's roommate, Oscar, was invited into Irenia's coven. And she told him that Lindsay had hexed him as well. The only way to fix this hex was to kill Lindsay and her unborn baby. Oscar agrees to go through with it. But on the night that they were originally supposed to do it, Jenny is, by the way, the other girl that came to pick up Oscar at the thing.
Right.
She's also like 10 years younger than Irenia. And she is kind of, Irenia takes her in and like kind of takes on almost a motherly role to her. So mm-hmm. there's like a real connection there, like, or maybe onus there or something that's yeah. like their relationship is layered. It's like, yes, coven, but she also lives with her.
Right.
And there's layers to it. It's more than that.
I'm going to need more information about what that conversation was like. Going from light witchery, right? Yeah. Just like basic, we're just doing some charms, we're lighting some candles, to being like, we need to murder this pregnant woman. And
that's like, something yeah, that happens like, over time. It yeah. has to. You know what I mean? Where,
for sure.
And also, I just watched, did I tell you about that documentary I watched with that one cult leader? Lady,
yes. Oh,
was it the one Teal?
Yes, yes, Teal Swan.
The Deep End. I watched the first two episodes of that, and I was like, I gotta get out of here. Yeah. It is so wild.
Where there is a way. I mean, look at any like cult behavior. It's like,
or anybody that just wants to belong.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who's lonely wants a place to belong. This Jenny girl is literally, obviously, was in a bad situation mm-hmm. in which she kind of got saved by Irenia, who like took her in out of a bad situation. Mm-hmm.
And also, everybody wants a boogeyman for their problems. Of course. If it's not Hex or Deep State or whatever. Yeah. People want to blame something concrete for their problems.
Oh, absolutely. Can't instead be of anything like, they did.
Exactly.
Yeah. So at any rate, they do bring Oscar in. He is, and Irenia's like, you know, this hex, you know, all that shit that's been happening in your life. This is what this is. You're in the coven and she knows, and you're now part of this hex. And so again, Oscar's convinced. He's like, I have to do this. And again, he is like, I'm ready to go through with it. He and Jenny go, but Jenny can't even make it through the door. She's like, I can't do it. She's like, I cannot do it. So Oscar reaches out to a warlock in the community. David.
It's not a part of the coven, just like yeah. this small town has coven and a warlock.
Well, there's a connection. He just moved to another small town close by, and I guess they probably all talk to each other, the covens, and mm-hmm. he's a new warlock in town.
Okay. All right.
And
where is this?
Illinois, Southeast, right?
Illinois, yeah.
I feel like it's a lot of activity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a lot more people who practice witchcraft than...
Which
than,
is I mean, great.
It's yeah.
I have no issues yeah. with it.
This you, feels this, I mean, extra.
Yeah. yeah. Some light witchery light sounds witchery. Like a good time.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this, yeah, it feels very heavy on the witchy community in this yeah. small town.
Strong community there, I guess.
Yeah.
But David Lidner is who he reaches out to, and Irenia decides to involve him in the plot. The night before they were supposed to go do this, they decided to hold a seance. And she's like, she lights all these candles and she's like, I can read the candles mm-hmm. and the candles will tell us the answers, and I can understand what they're trying to say. And through the candles. So they just kind of ask like yes, no questions. And she's like, the spirits were clear. Lindsay had to be sacrificed as part of a ritual. And it had to be done by the time the candle burned out, or their whole families would be at risk for death. Don't worry, guys. Also, to protect you on your journey, 5 sub-demons will be joining you to protect you.
Sub-demons? I can't get any like alpha demons. No,
I got sorry.
It. It's just
also they don't have like any skeptical people in that group, because I'd be like, do you just beef her because she's with your
man?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah, like, it feels weird.
It does. It feels like I need a little bit more evidence. Like mm-hmm. I can't just take your word for this. I'm sorry.
Well, they're in.
Okay.
Sounds legit. Great. So again, like I had said, they climb through the kitchen window. Jacqueline, hearing the noise, came down the hall into the kitchen. She surprised them in the dark, thinking that she was Lindsay. They stabbed her multiple times.
Oh, God.
And then again, when Joshua, coming out to her aid, was killed in his efforts of trying to save her.
That's terrible. Goodness. Oh, yeah. That's terrible.
Awful. Irenia is the clear mastermind of this and has convinced her fellow followers that everything that was in their life was bad. Jacqueline does recover from her stab wounds. David, who was shot, one of the the Lettner, the warlock, who was shot, he actually went into a coma recently, like very soon after he was interviewed by the police, went into a coma and succumbed to his injuries.
Oh, God.
So he ends up dying as well. In the end of all of this chaos, Misty, Jenny, and Oscar all join forces. They're like, nah, we got fucked. You said there was a hex. We believed you.
And they turn on her.
They all turned on her. Yep. They all joined forces against Irina, who claims that and they claim that she was the one who was the mastermind. She was behind all the decisions. She planned the entire plot to kill Lindsay so that she could get Jackie Jackson back.
Why? In what universe would you think that that would work? Like, there's so much delusion here. Yeah. That's like
strong delusion. Yeah. How? What? In what world do you think that this man, this 23-year-old kid who just lost his pregnant girlfriend, would be like, you know what?
Let me hop back in your bed. Yeah.
I can't wait to get back in a 33-year-old bed. Mm. That doesn't... No, sir. Ma'am. October 5th, 2006, the jury decides that she is guilty on three counts. She's guilty on conspiracy of murder, first-degree murder, and first-degree attempted murder, and home invasion. So she gets 57 years in prison.
I feel like you get life for something like that. Like,
it feels light.
It feels
she will light. Be like 93 like 90. By the three by the time.
But
she
didn't
out.
Do any of the actual. She didn't do that's like why.
Any okay. actual physical.
Yeah,
killing.
That's why.
Yeah, yeah. Misty, she pled out to conspiracy to first degree murder. She ended up only serving, she's already out. She served 7 years. Oscar Eck, who was Ricky, he pled guilty and received 20 years. Jenny decided, she's like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this to trial. She did. And they found her guilty and she got 32 years.
Yeah, I bet. Why would you do that?
Yeah, you get penalized for it. And that's actually, I've seen a couple interesting articles about that. That how is that right that you get penalized for exercising your right to a trial? But 100% of the time that they offer you a plea deal.
Well, because at the end of the day, I think so much of it is about like money.
Yeah.
It's just like they can save so much money by like pleading you out and not having to go through the expense of a lengthy trial.
Right.
Right. So there's that. And then it's also when you are dealing, juries are unpredictable as well. You know?
I'm sorry. I just was thinking about this, but she actually didn't murder anybody either, though.
No, she didn't.
She was just part of the conspiracy.
And ended up with 32 years.
And the one that actually did murder got 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. Our justice system is
it's fucked.
Very strange thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that story. I really didn't. And I feel like stories like that usually get sensationalized. Yeah. There's usually a million Dateline snaps. Like
It was on Snapped. Yeah. It was a decently recent one on Snapped. And I just happened to see the Coven thing. And I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting.
Which I was like, at first when you were telling the story, I was like, I wonder how this is like about relationships until you were talking about Irina and Jackie Jackson. And I was like, how did nobody in that whole group was like,
Misty even knew.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the thing. Okay. So that's the thing that also they were kind of saying on the show is that, you know, every single one of those people had an opportunity to stop this because they knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And not one person like put their hand up and was like, excuse me. Yeah. Didn't you used to fuck him for like 4 years?
Yeah.
Maybe this is personal. Like that woman of all the people in this town, that's the person who put a hex on.
Interesting.
She's not even part of our witch community. And that's the one who did it. Like,
how do you know she knows witchery?
Yeah. Right. You don't know.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. It's the candle reading for me that was like, you can read candles.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Truly don't know. Witch talk, let us know. Because.
Yeah. Who knew?
Wow.
Wow. What are you guys watching this week?
Okay. I do feel like I need to talk about this. So.
You're going to, huh?
I am going to. I did start watching Monster, which is the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Mm. I had concerns going in that we discussed off mic about, you know, it's Ryan Murphy's show. Is it going to be really campy
or sensationalized?
And I will say it didn't feel campy to me. I watched the first episode. I talked to you guys after I watched the first episode and I was like, didn't feel campy to me. I watched the second episode And after the second episode, I was just really starting to feel
the ick.
Icky. Yeah. Yeah. I was just really starting to feel like not good about it, like watching it. And then I did a Google search and I was just like, what do the victims' families have to say about this show?
They are not happy.
And they are not happy. They didn't get a heads up or any mm-mm. permission at all from Ryan Murphy. They're not getting paid or anything. Like there's no, it just feels
sensational.
And you know, I can say I don't think the show is trying to sensationalize it. Sure. It's just it's so from his point of view, and I understand that because I'm like, when you have someone like Jeffrey Dahmer who is so unusual, he's so outside of the norm and of
people,
like how
people want to understand how it happened.
Yeah, they want to know like how someone's brain works like that. Like, how did they grow up? Like, I get it that there are so many things from his perspective because it's so unusual for most people to try and comprehend, but
it's the fact that they actually like marketed it as being like respectful to the victims and everything like that. They really did. There's a lot of stuff saying like, you know, we made this in mind to be respectful for the victims. And from what I read, like a lot of the victims' family was like, you know, they could have reached out to us. No, they did not.
Yeah.
They could have offered, because they're going to make bank on this. Yeah. This is now the most mm-hmm. successful show that Netflix has put out.
That's wild.
It's the biggest one. It's bigger than Squid Games. Like,
really?
All
yes. And I'm very fucking kidding. I'm surprised. I'm surprised by that because
I am too.
I couldn't keep watching it. And I know other people who started watching it and turned it off as well. And the thing is, it does make you feel for the victims, but of course it does. Cause it's just like, I can't imagine what I would feel like if I was a victim's family member watching this, because they really spend a lot of time on how terrified they are. And and if that was my brother or son or something, and I wouldn't watch it, but if I was watching it, I've already pictured their last moments in my head and like how scared they must have been a million times. And then to see it played out that way, where the production design is great, it's you can smell that room. It feels very visceral and gross and very just scary. And if it was fiction, I would probably eat it up because I love like horror and I can watch that kind of thing. But it's not fiction, and it's like you have to feel that like these were real people, and it doesn't feel good. Evan Peters is doing a great job. Also, you know, I can't keep watching it. I just can't.
Yeah. Mm. No, understandable.
Yeah. Somebody posted on Twitter, they're like, the number of people disturbingly being like, I didn't even feel anything. I wish there was more. It's like, honestly, what is wrong with you?
No. And again, this is as somebody who consumes like horror movies and stuff like that
and
often.
True crime. We just got done telling a true crime story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant battle, you know, to be respectful, you know, when you are in the true crime space.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I think for me, the fact that they went so hard, they even put an LGBTQ tag on it, which when I talked to my brother and his husband the other day about it, they were like, this is not the representation we're looking for.
No,
you know?
No. They have enough battles. No. They don't need a Jeffrey Dahmer association.
The only thing that I can say that I feel like the show was attempting to do well was they really did put an emphasis on the reason why he wasn't stopped sooner is because of not only who he was attacking, like who his victims were, but also because the people who did try to get attention, because there were people that were like, he had lots of neighbors that were like, I have suspicions, this is weird, the apartment smells weird, like all this stuff is happening, and they're calling the police, I mean they're contacting the police and stuff like that, and because of who they were, meaning that they are like of a lower socioeconomic class and the majority of them are Black, the police didn't take them seriously, you know? And so I do think that the show does a good job of pointing out that because of the race and class issue, you know, if Jeffrey Dahmer could have been stopped much sooner. And it's, but yeah, I don't think it's campy, if that's what you're worried about with Ryan Murphy, but it's not, it doesn't feel good. I don't need another thing strictly from Jeffrey Dahmer's perspective.
Right, right.
You know.
Well, I got super high the other night, and I watched
I love
a show
the story already.
On Netflix called A Trip to Infinity.
Of course you did.
It is 1 hour and 19 minutes all about the concept of infinity. What it is.
Oh,
is
God.
It a number?
You were
is
high watching this?
Dude, my fucking brain broke.
My they anxiety were, can't do
dude,
it.
No, it was absolutely not. Fucking incredible. They were like, infinity is actually zero. Or maybe the universe is just trying to do this complicated, like, you know how pi is an infinite number. They were like, the universe might actually be this computer trying to solve that infinite number equation. And I was like, oh my God. It
Christina,
was
I'm having an existential crisis just having this conversation. Like, 100%. I'm like, I cannot do it.
I highly recommend. I was so entertained. If you are a mega nerd, I have just never, there's something bigger than infinity. It just blows. If you want to get your mind blown, if you like that kind of thing.
I feel like my mind is already blown.
Check it out.
I sometimes feel like, and this is, okay, this is the spooky witchy part of me, but I feel like, I sometimes feel like maybe multiple lives is maybe a thing. Maybe we are recycled beings and souls, but I always jokingly say that I'm a baby soul. I've maybe had two lives before this. And I'm baby. Mm-hmm. I really think that I'm baby.
Yeah.
And it's stuff like that that just almost exclamation points it. Because I feel like sometimes, like, stuff like that, like you said, gives me anxiety. It makes me feel like I don't want to know.
I will spin out.
I'm
My
very
brain
happy.
Spins out. Yeah.
I'm very happy just being baby.
I love exploring those like complex issues. I love thinking about
I'm glad
like,
there's people
string
who do.
Theory and stuff like that, and just imagining what it would be like to be a fourth dimension. You know, it's fascinating to me. So
I'm sweating.
Right. I know. I mean, I did do some Googling and like was up. I was having insomnia the other night and I did Google multiverse and then just read about like why people think that they're like there are multiverses and all that stuff. And
that's fascinating to me. The idea of multiverse, the idea of, again, multiple lives.
It is interesting.
They talk about that in infinity. That's part of the whole concept. If infinity is a place, then that means it's all of it. It's all of it.
My brain's going to break.
Sorry, guys.
It's scary to me. There's like a weird, like, scared place I go to with stuff like that.
It just makes me feel very small.
Yeah. Which is, I don't mind that. I just feel like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, I don't want to know. It's kind of like when you're like having your fortune read. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what my future is. I want to live it. I want to experience it. I want to have it fresh. I don't want somebody to tell me what's going to happen. I want to live it freshly and enjoy it as it comes. I am watching something really campy and interesting. It's called Recipes for Love and Murder.
Okay.
And it is on, of course it's on Acorn, and on Prime. And it's cute. It's just like this cute little, I mean, cute in the way that like there's
Recipes for Love
crime.
And Murder.
I mean, like, there's crime involved. But I mean, like, it's a light show. It's she is a she writes for the local newspaper. It takes place in South Africa. She's from Scotland, but she writes for this local newspaper. She usually writes recipes for them. And they were like, oh, we have to cut out the recipes. We're doing an advice column. And she's like, I don't want to lose my job. I need this job. I'll do the advice column. And so it's like her kind of like taking these people's like advice letters as they come in. And the first one she gets is this guy, or this woman who is possibly being in an abusive relationship. And so, but then that person ends up dying in the first episode. So oh. like it's like the ongoing story is like, oh no, what happened to her?
Okay. And she's it feels like, kind I feel of like Murder, She Wrote-ish.
Is it's a
like-
very Murder, She Wrote-ish type of
vibe
exactly. When I mean by light, it's that kind of yeah thing. It's that energy yeah. where it's like it's her snooping around to find out who done it. It's very whodunity.
Yeah, okay. Agatha Christie vibes.
Yes,
got
yes,
it.
Yes,
got
yes,
it. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, cool. If you guys have something that we should watch, if you have bad date stories, if you want live show tickets coming up October 28th at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles, also available for live stream, go to our one-stop shop of website. It's mywarstatepodcast.com, and we love you so much.
Cheers.